In Hebrews chapter 10, here's the announcement, "Lo, I come." And it came. If you read in Revelation 3:20, how he says, "I will come in, I stand at the door and I knock. If you open the door, I will come in. I'll be with you and you'll be with me and we'll sup together." And then if you go on, go back to John 14. "I'm going." "Where are you going?" "Going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, guess what? I will come again. I will come again and receive you to myself." You see? So you have this three dimensions, this historic moment when he comes to Bethlehem, and then when he comes and creates the church, us, and comes to us, and then one day, when all these troubles that we see at the moment will be dealt with. Do you know what? Let me just remind you, he has come. The incident at Bethlehem, we'll look at it in detail a little later, but it was a pledge. We had a world in crisis. We had a world in need. We had a world that was confused, didn't know which God amongst the many gods that were proliferating. And God did something unique. He came into that crisis. These kind of phenomena happen. You know, Scotland was in turmoil. Oh, it was so difficult. And again, when you have a crisis, you need a mighty man to come. And for Scotland, the whisper went from village to village, "John Knox. John Knox is here, the great reformer." And when John Knox came, then they thought that there in Scotland, everything would be fine again. In 1815, on the island of Elba, you had Napoleon. And France was in ferment, in turmoil. Napoleon was going to make one more bid to rule the empire. And he said he would return in the spring. And there was a little violet. That became it was a spring flower, and it became the symbol of the revolution, you see. Aimez-vous la violette? Do you love the violet? And there came a moment, and you can trace it back in history. It was March the 1st in Chuan Bay when Napoleon disembarked, and that's when the revolution began. And everyone was saying, "Napoleon has come." There are a lot of folk here, many of you, my generation. Do you remember MacArthur? 1942, in the Philippines, forced to withdraw. And the folk there thought the Japanese would destroy everything. And MacArthur made a promise, "I will come back. I will come back. I will come again." And he did. It's 1944. And that was the beginning of the victory over the Japanese forces and evil and so on. And God saw a world that needed a mighty man. If you get a moment, read John 15. There's an appalling statement there that if I had not come, think about it. If Jesus had not come, we wouldn't be here. Would even our nation be here? Who knows what? And this was God's promise, "For unto us a child will be born." And that's what Isaiah 9:6 is all about. And that's, he came and he comes. I'll just mention Revelation 3:22 in a moment. The knock at the door. Only the burglar doesn't knock. The burglar comes in the night to steal, to destroy, to take from you. But most people will knock at your door. And this wonderful picture of Holman Hunt, of Jesus the Savior, knocking at the door of your heart and of your life. And the problem is this, the latch to lift it up, to open the door, is on the inside. You've got to open the door. Week after week, this is the message that we proclaim. If you've never done it, what a day to start Advent. Open the door and let the Savior come into your life to transform it and to make it what it should have been, and so on. He who's master of the universe can be master of our lives. And then he will come. Oh, when I kneel every morning and start to pray for the world in which I live, I want to shake my head. Because I look out and I see we don't have anybody who can manage efficiently and correctly and properly and for the good of us all. But Jesus can. And I see the God of this world, Satan, the devil, has taken control of people's lives. And there has to be a day of reckoning. And he will come. I'm going to the wedding a little bit later today. I'll be conducting the wedding and right after this service. And the bride will come in. And you know, when Jesus comes again, you and I, the church, we will all be the bride. It will be like the wedding. Be like the wedding. And yet, it will be much more than that. In the Ukraine, there are forces conflicting each with the other. And when Jesus comes again, there will be a battle. And there will be a conflict. And there will be an Armageddon. And there will be a glorious victory, because he is the King of Kings and he is the Lord of Lords. And then I think of the law courts when I go down the road into South End. And I think, when he comes again, the law court of heaven will open the books. It will be illegal. It will be something that rights every wrong, corrects every injustice. You want to talk of Advent? This is what we're talking about. You see? And then we're waiting for the day when Charles will be crowned king, his coronation. I tell you, Advent tells me about a day when the King of Kings will have his coronation. And there will be a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. That's why I tell you, this has got nothing to do with Tesco's laden table, Ocado or any of the others. Nothing to do with teddy bears. Nothing to do with the festivities that are being promoted. And they'll be over in the square at 2 o'clock this afternoon doing the same kind of thing. We are talking about the Advent season. And the Advent season has these three parts to it. He came, he comes, and he's coming again. So I invite you to start with us here today on our journey that takes us right the way through to Christmas Day. Luke chapter 2, and there were shepherds, verse 8, living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them. The glory of the Lord shone around them. They were terrified. But the angel said to them, Don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. Lying in the manger. That's not this morning's message. I saw something in that this week I hadn't seen before. And I think of all the Christmas messages I've preached, time to come. Now, I want to share something with you. It's very simple. Here it is. Let's go to Bethlehem to see. To see. To see what has happened. And I wanted to ask you a question. What are you looking at? When it comes to Advent, what are you looking at? What are you seeing? See, the heart of the gospel is in that straw-filled manger. The most incredible news that was ever going to come to the ears of mankind rings out in that lonely place, that there's a Savior. It's the news of how God has come to our world in order to make a relationship with people like us. And in the darkness of that night, those shepherds stumbled across another world. It was strange. It was not what they were used to. And it was awkward. I'm dressed for the wedding later. They weren't dressed for an audience with God. So that would make you awkward too. Oh, I forgot. They were shepherds. They were not Orthodox Jews. They couldn't keep all the rules and the regulations. They couldn't wash and do the rituals. So they couldn't go into the sanctuary anyway as they were. And here they are. You have to understand it. This is absolutely amazing. These guys who aren't fit by the laws and the rules and the regulations, they are confronted by angels from heaven. They are given a special announcement from heaven. And they hear all the choirs of heaven singing the praises of God. And there wasn't another human being in sight. You read this story because you know it, but you really see it. It's incredible. Now, it all kind of ended in a moment. And they had to ask, was this a dream? Was it a fantasy? Had we eaten something and we all hallucinated? What was it? But they did ask a question, because they realized that something significant had happened in their life. Let's go and see. Let's go and see for ourselves. And that's what I wanted you to do with me, not just today, but through these weeks. Because Advent, Christmas, is a time for looking up. Oh, they will see the baby in the manger. But in the process of seeing that baby in the manger, they will see that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. 2 Corinthians 5. This is not an intrusion on the part of God. It is simply an intentional action, an invitation that we should know that there is something more than what you see down here. You've got to start looking up. And over these 4 weeks we spent together, I want you to look up. I want you to remember that heaven is our home. We're just a passing through. And like Abraham, we're looking for and we're heading for and we're going to a city whose builder and maker is God himself. I want you to look up through the Advent activities and remember and discover afresh, in case you might have forgotten it or let other things crowd it out, that God wants to share his life with us. So if you look up, you've got to do this, you've got to look within. The splendor of this Christmas message is that there's this personal perspective. They hurried off. They found the baby. They looked at this manger scene and they recognized, somehow, they recognized that this was the very parody picture of what happens in our hearts. This is what lights the flame of love. This is what lights the passion. This is what touches our lives so that the living of our lives can be much better and much brighter and more significant. So at Christmas time, to get the Advent message, you look up and you look within. And you look around, because when they had seen him, you see, they spread the word concerning him. That's why we're going to have carols by candlelight. That's why we have a new board out there. That's why there will be invitations. That's why there will be personal cards for you to share with other folk. You see, it's not just about toys and feasts and so on. God will bring people across our path. Some of them will be lonely. Some of them will be distressed. Some of them will be hurting. Some of them will be hungry. There was the guy sitting in the square, was it the other couple of days ago? And he had a little card in front of him, just by McCall's. I'm hungry. He didn't have a collecting pot. He had a crushed plastic cup. I'm hungry, he said. Again and again, when I meet folk in the square, I find they've got problems and situations and circumstances, and you meet them. You meet them where you go. So Advent has got this perspective. Because I've looked up, I've looked within, and now because God has touched my heart and my life, then when people are stumbling in the darkness of these days, when there's delusion, the delusion with the myths, the Santa Claus, the elves, the reindeer, they never knew reality in the Advent message. Let them be what they are, but you have a hope that they desperately need to share. Is that it? No. Because I've looked up, and that made me look within, and then I've looked around. We have seen him. So they spread the word concerning him and what they had been told. They looked ahead. They looked ahead. And there's a new year just around the corner. that's going to be full of opportunities to witness. Because here in this story of the shepherds, listen to this, and all who heard it, that's what they had to say, all who heard it were amazed. Were amazed. And people will be amazed that we have one of the most profound messages that any can ever come across. It's a wonderful message of peace and joy. So we have to be bold. We have to be courageous. The future's an open door. It's a legacy ready for us to fulfill. It's a door for us to walk through. And we will, on one of the days, think about some magi, wise men. And you know what? Because of the Advent encounter, this is what the Bible says. They went home another way. And people that we touch with our lives can go home another way, finding peace and satisfaction and blessing. And, I've got to do one more thing. Because as your pastor, I have to take you through Advent. So I'm going to make you look back. Oh, you had to look up. You had to look within. You had to look around. You had to look ahead. But you also have got to look back. See, you and I, us, we, we've got to tread the road back to Bethlehem. We've got to go back. Go back to all these scripture stories. And maybe as you walk back in your imagination, you will stop at the door of the inn. And maybe you'll hear again, there's no room there. And so you will go back to the back of the inn. You'll pause. Smell the hay. Smell the animals. Go back. Go back. But don't stay there. Come on in. Step inside. In your imagination, step inside the stable and marvel at what you see lying in the manger. Come on. Come on. Come closer. Don't be scared. Because what you see lying in the manger is the Lord of the universe who's come down to this earth to be with you and with me. This is Emmanuel. This is God with us. He's come to be with us. He's come to live in your heart. He's come to bless your life. So what will I do if I go back and I see him lying in the manger? If I go back, then I have to bend my knee. I have to bend my knee. I have to kneel and I have to worship and I have to adore him. Because the great message of Advent is this. In its simplicity and yet its amazing profundity, Christmas, Advent, is a time for looking at the Lord Jesus. I have a question, and with it I'm done. Will you see him this Christmas? I didn't ask you, will you attend the parties? I didn't ask you what would be going on and that you would be part of. I ask you this question. Will you go back and see him lying in the manger? Will you see Jesus? Because that's the one who will touch your heart, touch your life, and bless you. You know, one of the days we might even look at this text, that God sent Jesus Christ to bless you. Of all the people in all of the world, the Bible makes this statement, that God sent Jesus Christ to bless you. But will you see him?